So we stopped because we didn't want to go down that trail. We thought maybe there was something going on down there. So we get back, and we're sitting at an intersection, and all of a sudden this groomer comes up. And so I want to know, well, why didn't they go any farther? So I get off the snowmobile and kind of flagged the guy down and asked him those questions. And then he said something along the lines of, hey, you're a minister, aren't you? And now you understand, I'm in the middle of the woods. I got a helmet on, all the snowmobile gear. And I said, yeah. Well, how did you? Yeah, you live over on Route 8, don't you? And I said, yeah, that's where I live. And anyhow, he starts asking different questions about different spiritual things in the middle of the woods. And so one thing led to the other, and I was able to share the gospel with him. And I said, I expect you to see you at 10:30 this Sunday morning. I don't think he was here this morning. But the point is, you never know, right? Amen? Well, you really all looked excited about this story that I'm telling you. Maybe you need to take a nap this afternoon. But anyhow, go ahead. Amen. Amen. You never know. You never know. So, all right. All right. Well, I got... it's early. It's only 20 after 6, so we could either be out of here early tonight or I could preach a long sermon. So you'll find out at the end. Okay? All right. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, and put a smile on your face and turn to Judges chapter number 12. Judges chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. It's really the second part of the life of Jephthah. Although you notice the title of this message, it's called The Family Feud, because that's really what's taking place here. There's a family feud that's about to take place. So follow along as I read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll have a short word of prayer. Judges chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon? And didst thou not call us, let me start that again, and didst not call us to go with thee? Well, we will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Ha, these guys are pretty radical. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at a great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore, then, are you come up against me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, nay, then said they unto him, say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Shibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, then died Jephthah, the Gileadite, and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless tonight's message. Speak to our hearts. Please use me tonight as your instrument and as your vessel to accomplish your purpose for us being here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I called this message A Family Feud because the Ephraim and Manasseh are related. So Gilead is really of the offspring of Manasseh. So if you notice on your handout, kind of gives you a little background here. Ephraim, he was the second son of Joseph when Joseph was in Egypt. And although he was the youngest, he had the chief blessing of his grandfather Jacob. And the tribe of Ephraim was always more distinguished than the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh kind of took a little bit of a back seat. Now Manasseh, he's the oldest son of Joseph. Also obviously born in Egypt. And the land, though, when it was divided in the promised land, one part of Manasseh settled on the east of the Jordan in the country of Bashan from the river Jabbok northwards. And the other was on the west side of Jordan, between Ephraim and the tribe of Issachar. And it extended to the Jordan, from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. But it was a far inferior land than the land of Ephraim, as far as the wealth and power went. But this is the offspring of these two sons of Joseph. And really, the feud started because Ephraim was jealous. Ephraim was filled with pride. Maybe that pride built up over the years. It shouldn't have, because it seems as if they had more of the blessing than did Manasseh. And they had the better land than did Manasseh. But there was a pride factor here. And I want you to think about that tonight as we deal with this particular portion of Scripture, and the ramifications of what pride and jealousy can do in our lives. And this was a family feud between these two groups of people. They were related. I don't know if you've ever been in a family feud, but those are not pretty. And some time ago, I was having a dispute with a family member, and I had to say to them, listen, I'm not your enemy here. It kind of got out of hand a little bit, and in the end, we resolved it, and I'm thankful for that. And so sometimes family feuds can kind of just all of a sudden take off and have a life of their own, and for different reasons. But in this case, there's a real jealousy here. So a couple of things with regards to Ephraim's vanity, their jealousy. They're a vain group of people. And by the way, this isn't the first time they became contentious. Take your Bibles and go back to chapter 8. Gideon had a deal with Ephraim. Judges chapter 8. But he deals with him in a little different way than does Jephthah. But back in Judges chapter 8, and beginning in verse 1, it says this, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him," that would be Gideon, "Why hast thou served us thus that thou called us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites?" It's a similar situation. "And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Ebiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian and Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you?" In other words, he kind of buttered them up. He kind of gave them a soft answer. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. And he dealt with them that way. And it says there, their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. So here we are, just a few chapters later, and here's Ephraim again, and they've got a problem here. They've got a problem with Jephthah and the victory that Jephthah won that we looked at in Judges chapter number 11. And so, we see, number one, we see this with regards to when vanity takes over, jealousy and pride, that there was contention. That's what jealousy and pride will always bring. It brings contention. Now, it doesn't always bring contention with regards to the person, perhaps, that the other person is jealous over. But the person who was jealous, or the person who was filled with pride with regards to whatever the situation might be, they can become contentious. And that's where the problems begin. Proverbs says this, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." I was preaching this morning down in Pittsfield and helping the church out down there as they're waiting for a new pastor. And we were talking a little bit about in a different message, but we were talking about humility versus pride. And I was reminding them that the fountainhead of our humility, and you and I are called to be humble servants of the Lord, amen? But the fountainhead of that, where the foundation of that comes is because you and I, if we truly understand the magnificence and the magnitude of what Jesus Christ has done for us, it's a very humbling thought. It's a very humbling experience. You and I, we deserve to die and to go to hell, every one of us in this room. And when we realize that Christ loved us enough to die and pay for our sin on the cross, that in and of itself, that is the fountainhead of all humility. The mercy and the grace of God. And by the way, when we have that attitude, whether it was a situation like this or any dispute that might arise in a local church, instead of there being contention, then there can be conversation and it can all be worked out. Because we approach it from a humble point of view. So the contention arises here between these two. But the contention, it then leads to confusion. The Bible says where there is envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. And it builds with regards to the men of Ephraim. They already came with a contentious attitude. They had gathered themselves together, they went northward, and they say of Jephthah, "Well, why'd you pass over to fight against the children of Ammon and you didn't call us to go with you? How come?" Now, the battle's already been won. The victory's already been attained. The spoils of war have already been collected. And maybe Ephraim looks at Manasseh and Gilead, or and Jephthah, and what took place there, and they said, "Well, we could have had a part of all of that." And they were really jealous of the victory that had been won there. And they put these demands upon Jephthah. "Why didn't you let us know? Why didn't you call us so that we could go with you?" They're just confused by all of this. And that also is what jealousy and envy and strife, it just brings confusion. You know, the Bible says that God is not the God of confusion. So whenever there's a time of confusion and things are, that's not of God. The only time that confusion with regards to God is used in a positive way is when God confuses our enemies. But there shouldn't be confusion with regards to God's people because we're led of the Spirit of God. There shouldn't be confusion in our lives. There shouldn't be confusion in our relationships with others. As I'm preaching this, it really wasn't part of my message tonight, but I'm thinking of there in 1 Corinthians where it talks about the body of Christ. And if one person in the body of Christ is exalted or lifted up, we should be happy for them. I mean exalted and lifted up in a positive way. Or if one person in the body of Christ is brought down and brought low and are going through a difficulty, then we should have empathy for them. But there's contention here. There's contention. And this isn't the first time. This is something that the tribe of Ephraim, this is something in their nature at this particular point in their history, as we've seen in these two chapters. And then this confusion. "Why didn't you call us?" And we're going to see in a minute that's exactly, the call was put out. But then, one thing leads to the next. Contention leads to confusion. Confusion leads to confrontation. The end of verse 1, they say this. They don't even give Jephthah an opportunity to respond. They say, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to burn your house." I mean, they're pretty riled up about this. This is a serious problem. "We're going to burn your house to the ground." Huh. And Jephthah was really not the kind of guy to, you know, if you remember from the last chapter, Jephthah was a warrior. He hung around with a rough crowd. He's kind of like the last guy you wanted to tell, say you're going to burn down your house. But that's what they said. We're going to burn thee with fire. We're going to burn your house down. There was a confrontation that took place here. But that's nothing new under the sun either. Look on your handout. 1 John chapter 3. John reminds us of something that took place way back in Genesis chapter 4. Where he reminds us, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. You remember Cain? He got upset because the Lord accepted Cain's offer, Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's offering. And just paraphrasing, but God said to Cain, he said, why are you so upset? Just bring the right offering and it'll be okay. But I think Cain was filled with pride and envy and jealousy over his brother. And wherefore he slew him, John said, because, speaking of Cain, his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So jealousy and pride and confusion and confrontation and contention, listen, this is all found in the toolbox of Satan. He loves to use it to cause division, to cause problems, to maybe perhaps get us to lose our testimony, to say something that we wish we hadn't said, to lose our cool, strife and malice and resentment and rage. Ephraim is displaying that here. And when you tell somebody that you're going to burn down their house, I think they're a little out of control. But you know what? We see that even in our culture today. People on the road, we talk about road rage. You hear sometimes about people that will take out a gun and shoot at someone because of road rage. Well, Ephraim is feeling this, and they're upset. But then we switch to Manasseh's tenacity, his resolve. And when I say Manasseh, Manasseh is represented here by Jephthah. That's his tribe. That's where he's from. And there's not going to be a soft. Well, in a sense, as I read through this, I think Jephthah did try to reason with them to an extent. He says in verse 2, and Jephthah said unto them, this is his explanation. Well, listen, I and my people, we were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And apparently he did call them. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. It doesn't really say how, but he's saying, I did put the word out, and nobody came to my help. And listen, we couldn't wait around. We had to do something about this. So that's my explanation, he says to them. But Ephraim is so filled with their pride and their jealousy, and this is another, really, an aspect of pride. I don't think they hear a word that Jephthah says. And that is part of it as well. I remember when I was going through this experience with a family member, and I had to say, it just became confrontational. And I realized that he wasn't listening to me, and I probably wasn't listening to him. And so then those words, I thank the Lord, just came out of my mouth. Listen, I'm not your enemy. And I thank the Lord for those words because it just brought some peace to the situation. But there was an explanation that he gave, and Ephraim didn't explain it. Now, I put it on your hand at Ecclesiastes 7:25. I'm not really sure that this is the primary meaning of this verse, but it does give us some understanding about how we should think. He said, Solomon said, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. So I thought about this verse as I was putting this message together, and I thought, you know, when someone comes, whether it's pride or envy, jealousy, whatever the confrontation might be, it would really be good if we kind of stepped back and we searched our own hearts and we thought, what's going on here? Why is this happening? What's going on with this person? What's going on in their lives? that they're dealing with me this way? What is the reason for this? Because if we let this escalate and get out of hands, it's going to become wicked and foolish and madness. I quoted earlier 1 Peter 3:15 from my little experience in the woods. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now again, the primary meaning of that verse, I believe, is to share the hope of the gospel. But as believers, when we're confronted and when problems are arising and situations arise, we should be ready to give an answer. Because while it's not a direct gospel presentation, we always want people to see Christ living in and through us. If they don't see Christ living in and through us, how are we then ever going to share the gospel with them? So Jephthah gives the explanation. And then he goes on and he says this in verse 3. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands, and I passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. The Lord delivered them, he said. Listen, you didn't come to help. I had to do what I had to do. We went to battle with Ammon, who are threatening us. And when he said, made the statement, the Lord delivered them into my hand, he might as well have said to Ephraim, if you're fighting against me, you're really fighting against the Lord. Because this was of the Lord. The Lord had me do this. And he vindicates himself here. Psalm 35:1 says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, and fight against them that fight against me. So there's Ephraim striving. Verse 2 is his explanation. Verse 3 is he's vindicating himself for what he did. This is what the Lord did. Wherefore, he goes on and he says, then, why do you come up against me this day to fight against me? What are you fighting against me for? In essence, what he's saying to them is, I'm not your enemy here. And this is Ephraim's opportunity to back down. But they're so filled with pride and contention and jealousy and rage that they don't. Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and he fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because, and here we know why they didn't back down. This is what Ephraim says. You Gileadites, you're fugitives of Ephraim, among the Ephraimites. And there's some truth to that. If you remember when Jephthah's brothers called them, Jephthah was a bastard child, and he had been kicked out of the family. And when they needed him, they went and retrieved him and brought him home. And he was kind of running with a gruff group of people. Vain men, it said in chapter 11. He's a rough and tumble guy. And basically, Ephraim is saying, when Ephraim says that you are fugitives, Ephraim is saying to Jephthah, you guys are nothing but the scum and refuge of the earth. Well, that's not a way to make friends and influence people. First they say, we're going to burn down your house. And the next thing they say is, you guys are nothing but scum. Well, I think Jephthah had about enough of this. And Gideon had come and put his arm around Ephraim and said, fellas, come on, everything's okay. We can work this out. Jephthah puts his finger at them and says, I've had enough of you guys. This is enough. He's indignant. James says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Oh, this is the wrong thing for Ephraim to say. Behold, a great matter, a little fire kindleth. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And this brought a very bad situation to a worse situation. Jephthah, he is indignant. I risked my life against Ammon. And all you guys can come up here and do and say, why didn't you invite us? And basically, it looks like their motivation here is they just wanted to have the rewards of the spoils of victory. Well, now comes annihilation. And the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And Ephraim is going to go down to defeat. So it says in verse 5, and the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before Ephraim, before the Ephraimites. So apparently at this part of the country, they knew the lay of the land. And the Ephraimites, which were escaped, said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, well, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, nay, then say unto him, now say Shibboleth. And he said, Shibboleth. For he could not pronounce it right. I can't pronounce it right either. Sibboleth. All right, there it is. Sibboleth. I would be killed. They would kill me. I'd be done. Sibboleth. All I can think of is, have you ever talked to somebody from Texas, born and raised, and asked them to pronounce Massachusetts? They can't. Now, if you're from Texas originally, I'm not making fun, but I guess I am. They can't say Massachusetts. They say Massachusetts. Are you from Massachusetts? No, I'm from Massachusetts. Oh, Massachusetts. That's the way they say it. They just can't. I don't know. Just like I couldn't say. I think it is. Maybe not so. But people have different. Yeah, they just couldn't say the word. They couldn't say it. Shibboleth, and he said Sibboleth. Did I get that right that time? Sibboleth. And the matter, they couldn't pronounce it right. So that was the key. So the guy's crossing over. All right. Pronounce Shibboleth. You mean Sibboleth? That was it for him. That's the way they did it. It's crazy, but that's how they knew. But that's, it's like that all over the country. I was riding the ski lift the other day with somebody, and I knew right away they were from the Philadelphia, Maryland area. They have that. There's an accent that they have down there. We had a guy, a missionary, come from Mississippi once and preach here. And this guy must have been from deep Mississippi. And nice guy, nice family. I forget where he was going, but I can only understand about 3 out of every 15 words that he spoke. I mean, he had a thick Mississippi drawl. Anyhow, the fact of the matter is, though, the Bible says, they killed 42,000 of the Ephraimites. All because Ephraim was filled with pride and jealousy and rage. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And the Bible goes on to say here that Jephthah went on and he judged Israel for 6 more years, and then he died and was buried. And then, just real quickly, so we can move on and get through this chapter, there are 3 more judges. There's not really much said about them. Ibzan and Elon and Abdon. Except they had a lot of children. That is one thing that's said about them. But they went on, and the Bible doesn't say much about them. Whether they had peaceful reigns or they didn't have peaceful reigns, or whether they accomplished anything or they didn't accomplish anything, we'll never know until we get to heaven. But these next 3 judges were the judges. But look at the bottom of your handout as we finish. We think about what took place between Ephraim and Manasseh in this family feud. James reminds us of this. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And that's what took place here. There's always something for you and I to be on guard against. But the Bible goes on to say, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen, whenever the Ephraim's, what we saw, the vanity, the pride, the jealousy, the rage, always be on guard against that, because all of us have the potential for that to rise up within us. And listen to the still small voice of the Spirit of God, so it doesn't become confrontational. Be ready to give an explanation. Be ready to meet the challenge and let others see Christ living in and through us. That's my Bible study for tonight. Deborah, if you'll come and just play a hymn tonight. Just going to bow our heads for a moment and think about the message. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now with a coworker, family member, friend that has the potential to become confrontational. Remember how Gideon dealt with it? Remember what took place with regards to Jephthah and Ephraim? And just perhaps if something is like that you're experiencing, just spend a few minutes with the Lord tonight and talk with Him about it. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be here tonight and help us to remember the lessons learned here in the book of Judges, chapter 12. Make application to our lives. Dismiss us now. In your love and your mercy and your grace, bring us back for Bible study on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name, amen.